Baruch to the fourth parak. We mentioned how Mordechai finds out by asking three children what the pasuk that they learned, and he comes to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mashiach Klal Yisrael this time, just like the last two times that Amalek came against the Jews. So it's interesting, the pasuk says, "Mordechai Yodai's Koshen Asav, Vayikra Mordechai's Begadov Yobash Sak Vefer." He tears his clothes, he wears Sak Vefer. Lemus, why? He just received knowledge that it's going to be Yeshua. Why is he now screaming and tearing his clothes and being Noig Ovel? The answer is, Mordechai is teaching us an important lesson that we always have to live in the present. What's the Chayvas HaShoah now? You're right, there's going to be Yeshua, very nice. But what's my duty now? And Mordechai says, the answer is, I now have to be Isaac in Tshuva and Tefillah. There's a Gzeira, Haman is still alive and kicking, and we have to work to undo all that. That's why and it's also why that because he's wearing sackcloth, the pasuk explains, he can't be in the royal courtyard in the Shar HaMelech. He has to be outside. Now it's a contradiction to something we said earlier. Why was he always previously in the Shar Beis HaMelech? To keep tabs on Esther. He was looking after her welfare. He felt a prize for her. So now you have a contradiction what to do here. If he's wearing sackcloth, he can't be in the Shar Beis HaMelech. And the answer is same thing. Mordechai is worried, what's the chayvas of the Shoah now? Now, after going to in Tshuva and Tefillah, and yes, I have to wear sackcloth, and even though it means I won't be able to be in the Shar Beis HaMelech and I won't be able to keep tabs on Esther, so what? Now, what's incumbent upon me is Tshuva and Tefillah. So the pasuk goes on to explain that there's a whole conversation. Esther gets wind of Mordechai with what's going on. First, she tries to get him normal clothing. That way, you'll come into the palace. You can't come into the palace with sack, right? It's a bazillion to the melech. So here, take these clothes, put them on. You'll come into the palace. You'll talk to me about what's going on. Esther realizes something's going on. But tell me about it. And Mordechai refuses. You know why? Because again, now it's a tzairich of tshuva, tefillah, wearing sackcloth, non-stop. That means even just to tell you what's going on, Esther. I'm not stopping. So Esther has no request but to do this via messengers. She sends Hasoch. She also tells that's Daniel, who goes back and forth. And this is how the conversation basically goes. Esther wants to know Lodas Mazev Almazev. We all read current events, right? But even when Talmid Chacham read the news, listen to the news, it's knowing the news is not really the ikar. It's knowing what's going on in Shemayim. Lodas Mazev, what's the newspaper saying? The Almazev. What's the spiritual cause behind what's going on? So that's what Esther is asking Mordechai. So Mordechai explained the Gzeira, and therefore what should we do about it? You have to go to the king and be Mischanin Loi and plead on behalf of your people. Kasha, we said earlier that because one of the two Averis that led to this Gzeira was Shinishtachavu L'Tselem at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. What was behind that sin? That they placed fear of a human being. They gave it more weight than fear of God. So the only way to be misaking that part now is what? To only rely on the Banshem and no physical Gishtavus whatsoever. So why is Mordechai Manshach? Why is he telling Esther to go to the king? Yes, it is, because we have a mitzvah of l'samoy del dam riecho. Mitzad that mitzvah, you can't just dam not do anything. If you could do something, we're not going to rely on the nishtadlus. We're going to continue to work on tshuva and tefillah, but what you can do, you must. The Samuel Dam Riecho requires it. And as Mordechai explains further to Esther, that there's another consideration here. Esther, Mordechai and Esther are from which Shevet Binyamin? They are in fact direct descendants of Shaul HaMelech, who was also from Shevet Binyamin. He was the first king of Klal Yisrael. And as we'll see in this week's Haftorah, Shaul was given the mandate to obliterate Amalek. It says in the Torah, Parshat B'Shalach, Mochai Tim Emches Yisrech Amalek. So when is the Kiyum? That has to be first. They're going to appoint themselves a king, and then they're going to wipe out Amalek. So Shaul, he was appointed king. Now is the time to wipe out Amalek. But Shaul was Nichshol. We're not going to go into that now. He didn't do the job he was supposed to, and that remained a pigam on his neshama. The Doyer Doyers. So says Mordechai Esther, you're his descendant. And now we have the opportunity to try to be misak in that. So Dafka, you have to go to the king, you have to be Moise Nefesh, even though Esther, as she explains to him, I have him called for 30 days, and maybe any day he should be calling me, so I'll go in Beheter. Why are you telling me go in Esther? And he's annoyed with me because I'm not telling him all about my personal background. So why am I taking such a risk? Mordechai says, you're taking such a risk because you have to be Moise Nefesh to rectify the sin of Shaul, our ancestor. In the Eitz Kazois, that's what he was trying to explain to us, the Al Sheikh who says this pshat, that you, perhaps the whole reason why you became queen in the first place was in order to rectify the sin of Shaul. So Esther relents, she listens to Mordechai.
How is that going to be talking about this thing? This thing didn't come.
No, it's the Mesiris Nefesh behind it.
What's the correspondence?
Because this is also an act of fighting against the Molech. Why is she going to, what is she telling Achashverosh? She's obviously going to tell them. The point is eventually going to kill Haman, and as we'll see in the last program of the Megillah, they're not going to just kill Haman, they're going to take revenge against all the Amalekim. They're using this opportunity to do that. So Esther says, okay, if so, then Leich Kinois is called Yehudim, all the Jews of Shushan, and they should fast 3 straight days, I mean 72 consecutive hours, Laila V'yoyim, so to I will also involve myself with fasting, and I'll go to the king. If I end up losing my life, so be it. I'm willing to be Moise Nefesh for my people. Why is Esther getting everyone to fast for 3 straight days? So it's very geschmack. We explained which of the two Averis is Esther in charge of? That they were Nanim Yisudasa Shaloysa Russia. Who was involved with that Avera? The Jews of Shushan. So in order, they have to also have a hand in the tikkun of that chet. How do they do that? 72 hours of straight of fasting will get all of that zuama and tuma that came into them as a result of being nana from the suda. They'll be matar themselves as a result. And be makai will be yarta harom mikirbecha. They'll get all that filth out of them, and that will help toward the tikkun. Mordechai, the last pasuk of what Perek says, he goes out and he does kachosh tzivsel of Esther, one shot in Bayavor. That means he personally went and delivered the message to every Jew in Shushan that they should fast. Why does Mordechai have to do that? Because another aspect of this Aveira that the Bnei Shushan did when they went to the Suda was that they ignored Das Torah. Mordechai told them not to go, and they went. Now now Mordechai is telling him, go fast 72 hours. And you know what that means? Al-Pi Cheshbon, one of those 3 days ended up in the first day of Pesach. That means he's telling him, be mevatel, the mitzvah derais, eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. Usually, obviously, we don't do such a thing, but Ha'iroah Shah, Mordechai realized, demanded that year, no matzah. I don't care how much money you spend on your matzahs, I don't care which chabur you bake the matzahs for, not eating it. So that's what went toward being Masak in the Chet, they're being Moisin Nefesh, to fast al pi the tzava of Mordechai. That's being Masak in both that they were Nene and that they didn't listen to Das Torah. Then we come to the fifth parak. And Esther is going to ask Achashverosh to have mercy on the Jews. It's important to point out, when we were kids, how were we taught the story of Megillas Esther? Basically, it goes like this. Achashverosh, she gets angry at Vashti, gets rid of her, looks for a new queen. Esther becomes a new queen. Haman makes a gzeira. Esther comes and asks for mercy, and she saves the day. And Baruch Hashem, Bruch Esther, Badi, ah. But as we're going to see, Esther's physical hishtadlus here ended up mounting to zero. It's important to realize, because it's an important story of Purim. What is it we're celebrating here? We're celebrating what? Hishtadlus works, bribe the officials. That's what we learn from Purim. Well, we learn the Kol Kaivecha Lo Yivoishu. When we turn to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only you, nothing else, we never lose. That's the Lashon over there. Kol Kaivecha Lo Yivoishu, Lo Yikomo Nesach, Kol HaChoisim Boi. Chabad yesterday had to do her shtadlus, but the shtadlus was not what saved the day. What saved the day was the tshuva and the tefillah of Klal Yisrael throughout the world, not only Shushan, the whole world also. When they got wind of the gzeira, they also were Isaac and tshuva, as the pasuk says in the fourth parak. I'm sorry, the third parak. So that's what we learn from the Siyantif, that when you turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and you only rely on him and not on Shtadlus, he will save you and he won't let us down. Another thing that's important to point out here is that up until now, the first four chapters, all the Nisim that we've discussed that happened was together us as Hashem, that Hashem is giving ideas to Achashverosh, to Vashti, to Haman, all to set up the eventual Yeshua. Starting from the beginning of the fifth parak, we're going to see a new type of nest that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to do. Malachim are going to come on the scenes at a lot of different points throughout the story, and they're going to intervene on our behalf. What happened? There were no malachim in the first four chapters. All of a sudden, where the malachim coming from? Because when Klai Yisrael, Isaac, and Tyre and Shul, like they've been doing for 3 straight days, it was on the third of those days that Esther was approaching Achashverosh. It caused such a rash in Shemayim that the Kiyum Mamish upgraded the level of Siyata Shemaya that they're now roi to. We're now roi to. That's why Shem now includes malachim all over the place. And we see immediately that in the fifth parak. Malchus, she has Ruach HaKodesh as a result of her fasting. She comes to Achashverosh, and the Gemara says no less than 3 different malachim are on hand to help her. See already, malachim. One malach has to keep Esther's neck up straight because she's so weak. Could you imagine what it's like to fast 72 straight hours? We do it Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, that's only 24 hours, 25 hours, and we break our fast. Can you imagine, you know, with all of a sudden, Lon B'Tanisoi, we decided, all right, I didn't eat already, bites Yom Kippur, bites of Tisha B'Av, stretch it out already. By the third day, we're, you know, we're, Mamish will come out fainting. So one malach holds Esther's neck up to push it because she's so weak. Another malach has to give her chaim so that Achashverosh will treat her nicely. Because after 72 hours, she's not bathing and she's not eating. She looks anything but attractive. And finally, a third malach takes Achashverosh's scepter and extends it. Because Achashverosh is a stubborn nut to crack. He's not cooperating here. In fact, he's angry at Esther for daring to approach him uninvited. The whole point is that it's Esther's time to Mordecai. You go into the Chatzar HaMelech HaPnimis uninvited. It's a death sentence. Esther said, anyway, Ahasuerus really is annoyed. But here comes Amal, says, guess what, Ahasuerus? She's coming in and she's speaking to you. We're not consulting your opinion here. Fine. So what can I do for you, Esther? So this is the big moment we're waiting for. Esther, finally, Ahasuerus is giving you the royal sanction to speak. No, say, the Jews are in trouble. What does she say? Imal HaMelech Toiv Yavoi HaMelech V'homon Hayoin El HaMishteh Asher Sisiloi. I want the king and Haman to come to a party, an exclusive party that I'm going to make for you. What in the world is going on here? Two questions we have to ask. What is she asking for? And why is she inviting Haman? The Gemara asks a famous question. Why is she inviting Haman? It's very interesting to point out the Gemara gives no less than 12 reasons. I'm not going to go into them. Look in the Gemara over there. And one of the Chachamim asked Eliyahu Navi, which of those 12 is right? The answer is all of them. The one here where Esther Malka was, she had 12, she's a Goinus, 12 different Pshatim that were all going through her mind, and on the third day of fasting, no less, that's why she's inviting Tom to the Suda. But what is she doing here? Why can't you just ask Ahasuerus outright? The question will take on, it will be stronger when we see that after she does get everyone to the Suda, what does she ask for then? I'm making another party tomorrow. You and Haman. What's going on, Esther? The answer is Esther is looking for a Semen Min HaShemayim that she's going to succeed. And if she's not getting a Semen Min HaShemayim, she'll make these parties forever, if necessary. So what happens finally between the first party and the second party, this is in the next parak, when Haman leaves out Mordechai around, and the Chazanis, Kachias Elish, that's the signal Esther is waiting for. That's why by the second party, which happens after that Maisa, she feels it's now finally time to make her request. So stop here.